Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we present another interview with a candidate for Spokane City Council president. That's the position that controls the legislative agenda of the City Council. There are four candidates whose names will appear on the August 6th primary election ballot. Last time we talked with Philip Tyler. Today, Steve Jackson meets with Cindy Wendell.
So my background is a little bit of everything. I spent the most of my time as an adult, as a stay-at-home parent. So honestly, we kind of giggle sometimes, but in all seriousness, the skills you learn as a parent, I think, have a huge amount of relevancy to a lot of the jobs that we do and what we carry on to leadership skills. So I don't want to discount that because I do believe that I have some very strong leadership skills and communication skills that are necessary for positions such as president of the city council and not just even a council member.
Hmm.
The other professional experience that I have had is in banking. That's probably the top of mind for me and one that I really enjoyed. I worked with a bank when we lived in Pullman. Washington Trust Bank was not in Pullman yet, and so they wanted to come to the market. And somebody reached out to me and said, can you help us find someone to manage our branch? And when I thought about how my history in Pullman, I went back to the bank and I said, I think you should hire me. They said, well, you don't know banking. I said, I know. I know nothing about banking, but I know Pullman. I know you in Spokane because we had lived in Spokane. And they hired me on the spot. And we, in 3 years, opened three with that branch plus two more. And then I came up to Spokane and managed our main corporate branch. So the banking experience is huge, I think, as far as, again, management of people, communication skills, setting goals and achieving, measuring success. Those are all huge contributors. And so that in the banking and then the nonprofit sector. I've been on boards with Vanessa Behan. I was a member of Junior League in that training. And then also I help manage commercial property now in Spokane. So I see the impact that our small businesses, working with them to create success for them.
Any reason why you maybe didn't choose to run for just a regular council seat first? Or
this particular race, so I'm not in politics. That's not part of my background. Mm-hmm. So, but looking at the races, this one stood out to me that it really was needing someone that came in with no agendas and no political background. It's a nonpartisan race for a reason. There's things to be done that our city has priorities for. And when I looked at who was in the race already, my gut was that there's so many politics that are being played out on the stage at City Council. Mm-hmm. And those two of the people are on the council already. And so you can look at the experience and what they've done on the council. And I thought that's not the way to lead. That's not the way what we need for a city council president. And there's one other outsider running in the race. So that was good. But I really believe that my skill set with leadership and communication shone and rose above those that were in the race.
So what do you have a priority issue that you think is the main thing you'd like to tackle? Or
I think the issues that we need to tackle are what we hear from the people. So outdoor belling, when I'm asking people, what is top of mind for you right now? Really still, what is top of mind for people is homelessness. And I don't want to box us in and ignore the other things that are going well with our community that we need to continue, because
sure,
there's a danger there. But you also want to make sure that you're in touch with the people that are living here, paying taxes, utilizing our facilities, our parks. And so for them, it's homelessness. So that for me is homelessness then. If that's what there is important to them, then that's something we need to focus on. Roads and infrastructure pop up as well. And so a lot of people don't, we get so used to bad roads here, but we don't realize. And I'm walking on the South Hill realizing I had no idea there are this many unpaved roads.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, for them, that's a huge issue. So I think homelessness, roads and infrastructure, and property crime.
So let's break it down a little bit, because the homeless thing obviously has been coming up with every other candidate talking about it. Do you have any other ideas how we can handle this homelessness issue, or what would you like to see happen with it?
Well, I do believe the situation is pretty dire. I think that regardless of the information that we're receiving in media, that there is a different reality in people's minds of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's very visible. And so I think people are frustrated because they're hearing one thing and seeing another. So we can't discount that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not satisfied with I think the latest numbers we were receiving our point in time was that numbers are going down. And that's encouraging, but I'm not satisfied with that. I still think they're too high. The impact that people are having to live with is too high. So we need to make sure that we're paying attention to it. The homeless population deserves more from us, honestly. They need to be treated with more dignity than we've been giving them. And we need to take this issue with an urgent sense of getting things taken care of. I think the city's response has been tolerant mm-hmm. at best, to be honest. Last December, when the council voted to not enforce the sit-lie ordinance, it was almost like putting gas on a fairly decent-sized bonfire. I was frustrated because our council should have known we had a housing issue and a shelter space issue. And when we decided that and said, okay, well, we can't enforce sit-lie because we think we're going to get sued because we don't have enough space. But was that a really good I don't believe that was the right thing to do because what happened because of that has – look at what's happened since December. I see it on our commercial property as far as people then being pushed out of the central core, pushed away from services. We didn't look at this and slow down and think about the long-term impact. Mm-hmm. And I was frustrated, extremely frustrated.
Do you think the city's activities in helping to fund outside – you know, individual agencies like, or they're not really agencies, but like the Catholic Charities and so forth, they're just providing, you know, funding for those folks is a good way to go about it?
I think partnering. I think one thing that city government can be really good at is going in and assessing what we currently have as a community, what we're offering to people and what we're not offering, where the gap is. Mm-hmm. And then also connecting all of our resources to each other. And gathering information, also being able to partner and strategize where we can get extra funding because the city can't fund it all. We're trying. We have limited resources, and that's why we rely on our city council and our budget to maximize the impact of the limited resources we have. So if money's not the only thing we can do, it doesn't solve everything. We need to partner them with federal grants. We need to make sure we're reaching out to other governments, other cities for best practices. That's the role of government, is to be an incubator of ideas and a connector. So to me, there's no nonprofit we should prioritize over another. We need to look at the results and make sure that we're getting data on what works and not just assuming something works. What is working? And if it's working, help them do more. You know, mm-hmm. and help them connect to other nonprofits to learn from each other so the impact is even greater.
Do you think that just the fact that the city is helping to fund services for the homeless has made Spokane sort of a destination of sorts for, you know, homeless people coming in from outside the area? Or do you think that's maybe blown out of proportion?
What I do know is that not being born and raised here, when I moved here and I immediately joined the Junior League of Spokane, it was interesting to me how many services were in Spokane. And it wasn't, the homeless issue wasn't, you know, that was back in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. It was just everything. And I would ask around, like, what is it about Spokane? Why do we have all these services? It's from the very beginning, Spokane's been a very generous community. It's just a culture of who we are, which mm-hmm. we should be extremely proud of. So I don't believe that funding it is necessarily a problem. I think it's just the what we do alongside funding has become the problem, that we need to do more in leadership, more collaborating, more connecting, and then measuring and assessing the impact of the dollars. I do believe that we have a huge heart and we should go out and celebrate that Spokane is that way. And I'm not afraid of that, mm-hmm. but I want to make sure that our dollars are being well spent.
Let's move on to another topic. You started to talk about this, about why you chose the council president position and referred to the elected leadership, but maybe evaluate the current elected leadership, what's going well and where change is most needed. And obviously, the leadership is going to change after this election, but yeah. Maybe just your view of it again.
Yeah, I do think we need to sit back, and before we answer, you go into the negatives, we have to celebrate all our elected officials and what they're doing for our community. Because I do think the common factor is we all want Spokane to be better. We all want to reach our potential. We all want individuals to reach their potentials. It's just the way we go about it that's different. So coming from that, that's why I want to answer that question. It's really important to me as I move forward in the election, is starting from a common point and recognizing where we agree. So I want to commend all of our leadership because we have invested in a fabulous park. We've invested in some fabulous facilities. That I want to make sure that we don't lose sight of that investment. So I think one of the things that frustrates me is that sometimes I don't believe that they are really understanding how much we have to lose. So we've done these great things, a lot of hard work, the passion and the energy and the commitment to making sure that we don't lose that is what I bring. I see it. I talk to people that say, I want to use this park. I'm paying all these taxes. But my kids, I can't take my kids down there right now. What they see as they walk from a parking place to the park is more than I'd ever let them see on TV. So why am I going to take my kids down there? Businesses are, I've talked to three different ones just this week alone. And one of them I met with last week, it was on the news yesterday about the new park on First and Adams. They're opening a business right next to that. I mean, and they're just thinking, have we wasted our investment here? I mean, what are we doing? And I think before we may see stores, we may see storefronts shuttering, and that is a real possibility. And if we see that, it's too late. So right now is the time to make sure it doesn't happen and that we're paying attention to what people are saying and not discounting it. People can get a little, you know, energetic and very, you know, polarized. But you can't discount it just because it may be polarized. They're coming from a place of true passion about Spokane. So we have to listen to it and and have it make sense and have it help guide us as we go forward. So to me, the biggest thing is the leadership, the collaboration, making sure they understand what we have to lose. Those things I haven't been seeing.
We're talking with Cindy Wendell, one of four candidates running for Spokane City Council president.
Let's talk a little bit about the city budget and your familiarity with it and maybe how you would prioritize city spending.
Yeah, I've done some studying on the budget and I'm from banking, so I like budgets. I really enjoy numbers. Uh-huh. But we're on pace to spend our 2019 budget's about $1 billion. The general fund is what most people will talk about, and that's where you have the most flexibility with your dollars in the city budget. I think what's important is to recognize that we have spent more than we've spent since 2016. We were spending $20 million more in 2019 than we did in 2016. Mm-hmm. So our economy has been strong. Our tax revenues have continued to go up. So we're not in a situation where we're not spending more money on services. But if we look at what has changed in our city in the last 3 years, can we equate more spending with a better Spokane? And I would think a lot of people would argue no. So again, it's looking back and saying, okay, but where have the dollars gone? And then if we are in a situation, it's a little, some of this is a little out of our control, but we have a drug issue, that's for sure. I mean, when we talk about homelessness, I don't like to compare, I don't want to include the two in the same conversation. I think we have two different issues. But you have to look at the priorities of where you're spending money. So I do think there's some flexibility. I think we're very lucky right now that our tax revenues have been going up, but I don't think we can count on that. Again, I think we'd be very conservative in our projections. So we reallocate some funding from other things that, yes, we would all like to do. But when you have an issue as visible and problematic as a drug crisis and a homeless issue, you have to redivert some dollars. And you have to look at that strategically, knowing in the long game you will go back and fund the things you need to fund for the quality of life for everybody to make sure we stay on track long term. But in the short term, you have to protect those dollars and reallocate where necessary. And right now it's public safety, the drug crisis. So we've got to do that.
So does that mean, does that translate into maybe more police officers? Would that be part of your priority then? Or?
You know, I'm actually trying to look at it creatively because I think, again, we've been spending a lot of money on it. And of course, I think we could all say we want more police officers. I would be the first to say if money grows on trees, like, yes, police officers, absolutely, amen. I think there's a hybrid model, though, there to work with, and I think my experience in commercial property management helps with this issue because I recognize what our private security companies are able to do. And I think Chief Meidel has introduced a program, and it's been going on, but the licensed commissioned officers, basically it's a hybrid model with your full police officer, and then you've got your volunteer program, right, through COPS. And this is more of that middle road where you do some initial financial investment in them to get them some training, and they're able to do some of the services of a police officer, but not all. I think visibility is huge. So I think we've got to get more visible people downtown on a security force, make sure they're visible and seen. But I think there's a way to financially do that where you're not having to hire full-on police officers necessarily. And I think we partner with some of our private security companies in town too to figure out how we do better ways of managing all the commercial properties that are business owners and our landowners, though they're doing on their own, that the police aren't even involved with at all. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother issue we could talk about. But
okay.
Yeah.
And on a similar topic, so what's your opinion then of the possible new county jail? Do you like that idea, or do you think that there could be other ways of dealing with the increased population of potential prisoners?
I know. You know, I think, again, I go back to where do we agree? I actually agree that I don't want to have as many people in our jails. I think that's a great long-term goal. Mm-hmm. I want to see the population decrease at the jails. Having said that, I don't believe that you can do that yet. I think you still need more jail space right now. Our community is growing. So I think we talk to people that say, well, we shouldn't criminalize this behavior and blah, blah, blah. Yes, in some ways, we need to have that conversation. But the reality is this community is growing. And you have a drug crisis right now. So if you don't build space, you are not giving yourself some of the tools in order to achieve the mission of long-term having less jail population, right? What I want to do in our jails is look at the programs inside the jails. I think we need more space, but what we do inside the jails needs to change. And when we have somebody that is in our jail system, what we are doing for them while they're there, we need to enhance more mental health treatment, more drug treatment in the facility, maybe in separate portions of that. Job training, that's huge for me. I think workforce training, job training, we bring in the private sector to help us with that, but that is part of your jail system. So when I say, yes, we need more jail space, it's not just in the traditional sense that you look at a jail. But I do believe we need to fund that. I think it's important.
So are you saying that a full-blown jail expansion or just some kind of little annex?
No, full-blown. Full-blown. But you need the space. I think when we have the conversation that we're having right now, and I think we're getting traction on recognizing what the need is. But again, you can have a large facility, and yes, you have some overhead costs of having a large facility. But the way you design it from the inside out is what's going to really matter. I don't believe you should separate those services necessarily. I see separation inside, but not necessarily having the multiplier effect of more costs of taking things and fanning them out. You need to have it in a central location.
The major growth in the West Plains is kind of an issue that has the potential to affect Spokane. The Amazon plant's going in, and then we've got apparently this new electric car maker out there.
I'm all about cars. That's kind of cool.
Pretty cool stuff. But do you see that as creating infrastructure problems, obviously in the West Plains, but then affecting Spokane as well, or do you have concerns with that?
Oh, I absolutely feel like we need to pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity, right? Like, I don't think we should be scared of it. I mean, we want it. That's great. I mean, even at Division of Wellesley, where our program, our property is, when I'm out talking to our national tenants and going to Vegas and talking to all these retailers, I actually specifically talk about the West Plains growing because I think it's going to impact everybody in a positive way. There will be negatives. But I think the way you approach it, if I were out on the West Plains, and, you know, as city council president, a lot of our land is out there with the cities going out west. Mm-hmm. But you build relationships first, right? You don't just talk about policies. You have to build the relationships first and the trust factor amongst the people you're going to be working with to solve the issues as they pop up. And so for me, that's my foundation. You enter a room with a vision. You create a vision for everyone. You're very strategic about looking at the possibilities. Like almost if I'm a drone, right? You look down and you think, where are we going to put services? Where are we going to put parks? So you have to start there and you create a common ground with people and then you kind of work from there. But we're going to have some challenges out there.
I believe the city helps provide some water to that general area. I'm thinking Airwave mm-hmm. Heights and how the water table's gone down. And I believe that we have plans or are currently sending water via our aquifer out there. Mm-hmm. Do you have any concerns, I mean, down the road that maybe that could create issues for the city of Spokane?
Well, I think water's in general. I mean, it's a resource that is limited. I think in general, we have to look at how we're using our water and how we're allocating it and work now, even if you don't have a crisis now. I think you have to implement programs with the long-term vision of decreasing use, right? I think we're going to have to go out there. They've got some issues with water quality out there. I mean, so we're going to have to look at things that we can help with that, not tap the resource too much and put the rest of our citizens at risk of not having water. But again, I mean, we're a team player, right? So we have to be a part of the conversation and make sure that everybody's getting what they need.
What other issues or anything else you want to tell us about, you know, your qualifications that I didn't ask you about that you want to add?
I think the property crime issue actually is really top of mind for me. And again, I don't want to equate it with homelessness. I don't think that's fair. And so for me, really what's been weighing heavy on my heart and my mind is what we're seeing out at Northtown Square at Division of Wellesley. And I asked our security company to give me some numbers from 2018.
And this is property that you said you manage. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And it's about 2 acres. It's a little over 2 acres. And it's mixed retail. I mean, it's all retail, really. Restaurants, shopping, all of that. And so we have a bus stop there, which is great. I love having a bus stop there. But it's also, we've got a traffic light, so a lot of cars will stop. So we have panhandlers and people waving signs. Not a big deal, right? I mean, they're not hurting anybody. But the problem is now is from the change in 2018 to 2019 is they're now, the people that want to panhandle are in the parking lot, knocking on windows of people's cars and disturbing the peace. Literally, I've listened to people yelling at each other in the parking lot. That's not okay for me, for all parties involved, right? It's also become where we would have people not maybe customers of businesses going in and using restrooms. Again, not a big deal, right? We're all very tolerant people. We get it. But now it's gone to people are locking themselves in the bathroom, shooting up with heroin, and having an overdose. That's 2019 versus 2018. Dumpster diving, again, people need things, right? I mean, they go in dumpsters. We've seen it for years and years and years. 2019 is now dumpster camping, not dumpster diving. My husband and I were out working with a homeless couple, we assume, that were camping in our dumpsters, mattresses, shopping carts, and that like full on, they obviously have been going back and forth to this spot. And it's just heartbreaking and it's frustrating. And I've got businesses that are trying to do good in Spokane, and we've got customers that are trying to bring their families and out of town guests because this is kind of a destination location, and it just isn't working. So there were 47 instances in 2018 total that our security company told us that they were called to the property for. As of May 8th, maybe, 33 already in 2019. So we've got property crime. We've got stories where we're saying, okay, the police are saying property crime numbers are down or general overall crime is down. What I want everybody to know is there's a whole nother side to that story that we need to explore. And that is what our private security companies are doing for our businesses that we're not talking about, that they're seeing, the people actually working with some of these people. And it's increasing. It's a hidden tax on our businesses. It's a hidden tax on our customers. Even if you choose not to go use a park because you're afraid to go use it, that's a hidden tax. I mean, that's something you don't want to do because you chose not to do it, but you should be able to go do it. And so it's an impact on our whole community. So we really need to pay attention to this and figure this out. So I'm very passionate about that. And I hear that from people. I'm passionate because I see it, but I'm also passionate because people are talking about it when I'm on their doorsteps. And we really need to have those voices heard.
Cindy Wendell is running for Spokane City Council president. That will be an open seat. The incumbent, Ben Stuckert, is running for mayor. On our next podcast, Steve will talk with another candidate for council president, current council member Brian Beggs. We've posted our full interviews with the candidates for mayor and city council on the Spokane Public Radio website. We're in the last grouping of candidates now for council president. We're adding one a day. You can click on the regional news tab and then on Election 2019 or go to the Inland Journal page. Or you can subscribe to this Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. We appreciate your joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.